Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
With the kids, as we began to talk about Elijah and the things that Elijah done and the great accomplishments in the life of Elijah, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets that we know of and that's written about, we said the only way that those things could happen in Elijah's life is if he was there. And we began talking about there. We said this morning, there is a place of submission. When we get there, it's a place where we submit to what God wants for our life. It's not about what we want. It's not about our desires. It's not about what we want to do, but it's all about Him and doing what He wants us to do. Matter of fact, we looked in our text how he went. The Lord talked to him. He went. Whenever he left from the brook, God sent him to the widow's house. He went there. Whenever he left from the widow's house, God sent him to go in to Obadiah in chapter number 18, verse number 1. And in verse number 2, the Bible said, Elijah went. And there is a place of submission. We submit to what God wants. And again, it's not about our wants. It's not even about our fleshly desires. It's about submitting our life to Christ and doing what He wants us to do. It's about a sacrificial life. I'm crucified with Christ. Amen. We die to ourselves and we submit to Him. We notice that in doing that Elijah went and did, but we also notice that, according to verse number 15, that the widow lady, the Bible said, and she went and did. You see, you being submissive will cause others to be submissive. You'll also find out that it's very interesting in verse number 19, her son's dead, and in verse number 19, the Bible said this, and he said unto her, give me thy son. She's got a choice to make right there. Is she going to let the man of God have her son, or is she going to keep her dead son and bury him? And she's got a choice to make. It's not just Elijah, but now this widow lady's got a choice to make. What's she going to do? Is she going to be submissive to God? We know that she is, and of course Elijah prays over the boy, and God brings him back to life. So there is a place of submission. There is a place of sustaining. I made this statement, I don't believe the ravens would have fed Elijah nowhere but at the brook. He had to be there to be fed. And when you get there, God will sustain you while you're there. You may starve somewhere else, but if you'll get there, I promise you, God will take care of you there. David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. And then we got to this place. There is a place of suspense. Whenever Elijah's there at the brook, God has been meeting with him. God's been doing great things for him personally. There at the brook, I believe that in all of my heart, but the brook dried up. It was time for Elijah to go somewhere else. And Elijah, maybe in the backside of his mind, was thinking, man, why am I going to leave here? Boy, God's done great things for me here. But it was only Elijah experiencing what God was doing for him right there. When we read on, we'll find out that Elijah goes to the widow lady's house. And while he's at the widow lady's house, now it's not just Elijah because of his submissiveness. It's not just him that is enjoying the blessings of God. But now there's a widow and her son that's enjoying the blessings of God. See, if you'll be submissive to Him, God may let you away from the brook and send you somewhere else. So it's not just you enjoying the blessings of God, but God could use you to help others. Can I get a witness right there? Enjoying the blessings of God. While he's there, now the baby dies. The young boy dies. And maybe in the backside of his mind, Elijah's thinking, man, I'm in the center of God's will. Why's this baby dead? Maybe this lady is thinking in the back of her mind, I've listened to the man of God. I've done what he said do. I've been obedient to the things of God. And now my son is dead. Well, we know that God's going to use Elijah to bring him back. And then after that, guess what? God leads him away. God leads him away from the widow and her son. Well, at the brook, it was just Elijah enjoying the blessings of God. There at the widow lady's house, it was Elijah and a widow and her son. But now God has something else for Elijah if he'll simply be submissive to him. Now God's going to take him to Mount Carmel, and the nation of Israel is going to enjoy the blessings of God and see the fire of God fall. Why? Because Elijah, even in his suspense, stayed submissive to the will of God. Can I say this to you tonight? God may be letting your brook dry up a little bit because he's fixing to take you to the widow lady's house or to Mount Carmel. It doesn't happen by accident, and it hasn't caught God by surprise. And even though you may not understand it, even though you may be questioning in your mind, why am I where I am at, and why is things happening the way that they're happening? Hear me and hear me well. If you'll be submissive to God, God may be getting ready to take you to a plateau in your spiritual life like you've never been to before. So it's a place of suspense. Number four tonight, I'll call it number one. I want to continue looking at, are we there yet? There. When you get there, there's a serious place. And here's really where I want to talk to you about a little bit tonight. It's a serious place. Can I just say something to you tonight? Where we're sitting is a serious place. You see, this boy's life being brought back into his life depended on the man of God. Depended on him being in tune with God, depended on him taking what God had called him to do in a serious matter. I'm afraid that we've come to a day and age anymore where church is nothing more than a routine. Come on now, help me tonight, and we might get out of here before cookout closes. It's nothing more than a routine. We come in tonight, and we was expecting the youth choir to sing, and they might sing again. Now, I don't know if they'll sing tonight or not, but that's what we was expecting. I got the email for the missions update, and I was going to give the missions update. We was going to hear a special song tonight. We was going to take a missions offering tonight. The preacher was going to preach a little while. And probably by 6 o'clock, we was going to be out going back to the house. It seems that we have forgot the seriousness of the house of God. I believe this in all of my heart, that this is a place where every time that we meet, that sinners that are lost without God sits probably on a seat at the church. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, can I just say this? Nobody thought Judas was lost either, but he was. Are you hearing me tonight? It's serious. And the business that we do for the Lord, it's serious, church. This is not a country club. This is not just somewhere that I come to build a network of friends to hang out with. This is the house of God. Thank God for the friends that I have here. Thank God for the people that I fellowship with here. But hear me and hear me well. I come here to hear from God. I come here to meet with Him. There is a serious place. The reason that I hope you'll hear me tonight. The reason so many people never get past the brook is because they never take it serious. And I just say something tonight. This morning choir, when you stood up to sing, it was serious. Amen. It was serious. It was not a show. It was not a performance. We're not going to perform at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. We're here to uplift the cause of Christ. But can I say this to you? We're going to practice. Let me tell you the reason why when visitors walk in here and hear the choir, they need to know the people in it are serious about serving a God that rescued us out of the flames of hell and what he's done for us. We take it serious. I'll tell you what we ought to do whenever it's choir practice. It's not a time to hee-haw around. I told you I come to preach tonight. It's not a time to dilly-dally around and make jokes of things. No, let me tell you what we're doing. We're preparing ourselves for the day that we get to stand up and exalt the name of Christ. You know what, ladies that sing in the choir? God will never use you to preach a message. Everybody okay right there? Miss Joanna, he'll never use you to preach a message because it's not scriptural. A woman preacher is not in the Word of God. But you know what he will use you to do when you stand there in your place and you lift your voice to him? Here's what he'll do. He'll use you to escort somebody else there. But you got to take your there serious. Maybe the reason that you can't get past the brook in your Sunday school class is because you're not taking it serious. Hello? Because we're not taking it serious. Man, teachers, and this don't happen much. And I understand that there's going to be times that situations come up that you get behind slow pokes. But I'm going to tell you something. If the routine is coming 15 minutes late to Sunday school class, number one, if I know that's the routine, we're going to have a talk. Because it's a poor quality and a poor testimony for students to sit in a class and wait on a teacher to be on time. Somebody give me an amen tonight at the church house. The problem is this, we're not taking it serious no more. It's just another day. I'm going to tell you something, there is a serious place. When Brother Elijah stood on Wednesday night to that group of young people, it was serious. When I stand and preach, it's serious, Brother Austin, Brother Dakota, Brother Nicholas, when we stand behind this sacred desk, it's not just any day. It's a serious thing to do. It's serious. I told Miss Stephanie this. They quite possibly may have been some kids in Sunday school this morning. It was the first time that they've ever heard much of the gospel. And let me tell you, some of the most important classes in Sunday school, if you come here very long at all, you know what I'm fixing to say. Between 2 and 5 years old. Because you're giving them the gospel for the first time. Can I just say something to you? I'm probably as picky about that age group, if not more so than any age group here. Here's what Hitler said. Give me a child till they're 5 and I'll have them the rest of my life. Hear me and hear me well, Miss Ella, Miss Olivia. When you sit down with those 2 and 3 year olds, you're giving them the gospel quite possibly for the first time, Miss Tina, Miss Shay. When you sit down with those kids, you're getting to teach them who Jesus is. Hear me tonight, it's serious business. It's serious. You sit down at that piano, Miss Tanya. It's not just any old piano. Musicians, when you sit down in that corner, God help us tonight. It's not just any old corner. This is a serious place. There was a serious place. I'm all for joking. I'm all for having a good time. But I'm going to be real honest with you. When we come in this building, it's different than the fellowship hall. It's different than the Sunday school classes. It's different than sitting down there around the round table in my office and drinking a cup of coffee. I'm telling you, this is serious. It's serious. And may God help us to get back to taking there as a serious place. One, it's serious. Number two, tonight, there was not only a serious place, but there was a still place. It was a still place. Note something with me in your Bible. Chapter 17, the Bible said, verse number 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, go thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Chapter number 18, look in verse number 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. I don't know exactly how much time is from chapter 17, verse number 8, to chapter 18, verse number 1. But from what I can gather, from who I've read after, from looking at different timelines, there's at least probably a couple of years that God has Elijah at the widow lady's house. And can I show you something? There's two miracles that is recorded in those 2 years. One was an everyday miracle because the meal barrel had some meal in it and some oil every day. Number two was this: the widow's son was raised from the dead. What Elijah is doing during the rest of that time, I don't know. It's not recorded. There's no quote-unquote major miracles besides the two that I just gave you that happens during that time. So let me show you what Elijah's doing. Watch this. Be still and know that I am God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get there, it's serious. And when you get serious, sometimes it gets real still. I love to hear good singing. Somebody give me a witness. I love to hear people shouting. I love to stand up and say amen. Hey, I will, man. I will. But let me tell you, the services that's done the deepest work in my life is when you could hear a pin drop in them. When God steals us. Matter of fact, my daddy said this: it's always the stillest water at the deepest water. When you get there, God might just steal you for a minute. You say, preacher, it feels like I'm not doing anything. Are you being submissive to God? You see, God knew that in chapter number 18, Elijah was going to pray the fire of God down out of heaven. So you know what he done? Here's exactly what he done. He let him rest. He let him be still for just a little while. Hear me tonight. When you don't know what to do, you better not do nothing. You better just sit still. Oh, but preacher, I've got to be used. God will use you in his time. Are you hearing me? Brother Lloyd's got cattle. And the other day, he got to noticing that his cattle wasn't eating. His cattle wasn't drinking. They was losing weight. Couldn't figure out what was wrong. Several days went by. And finally, he pulled out in the bottoms on their farm and sat in his truck and just watched. So he watched those cows. He seen one of them going down into a ditch and come back up, and went down into a ditch and came back up. And he said, it hit me what was wrong. He said, evidently something was wrong with my waters. He said, I backed up across the field, and whenever I backed up across the field, he said, I got to looking, and sure enough, the storm had dripped a breaker, and my waters was cut off. He said, I turned it back on, and I went out there to the water and let it filled up and began to splash the water up. The cows realized that there was water up there and come running back up there. You said, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with anything? You know, let me tell you the reason that he realized what was wrong. It's because he sat still for a minute. And if he hadn't have sat still for a minute, he would probably have lost a lot of his cattle. You see, when we get in a hurry, you ever got in a hurry going somewhere and missed a turn that cost you more time than it would have took if you'd have just took a deep breath? You ever, Brother Austin builds and Brother Sean back there builds, and you ever been doing something and just got in a big hurry and you ended up messing up and you had to spend more money and more time? Why? Because you got in a hurry. You know, a lot of times when it comes to these things of God, we think it's got to be this way, this way, this way, and this amount of time. If we don't do it just like this, hey, it's all right just to be still every once in a while. It's a serious place. It's a still place. Number three tonight, here's what it is. And can I say this to you? If you don't be still and wait on God, they might be lives lost because of it. I'm not talking about running from God. I'm talking about being still and knowing God. Number three, there was a place of supplication. It's a place of supplication. Note with me in your Bible, chapter 17. Note with me what your Bible said in verse number 20. The boy's now dead. Elijah's got him. Verse number 20 says this, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in into him again. Number three tonight, there's a place of supplication. When we get there, it'll be a place where we find ourselves prostrate out before God. The Bible said he stretched himself, Brother Dakota. He stretched himself out upon his son or upon the boy. Stretched himself. It'll be a place where we find ourselves getting in touch with God. And I want you to hear me tonight. When we realize how serious this thing is, it should cause us to make sure every decision that we make the right way. That every Sunday school lesson we teach, that we teach it in the anointing power of God. When we realize the seriousness of this, it ought to cause us, man, to fall on our face before God and beg God to do what only God can do. I want to ask you a question tonight. How much time this week did you spend, parents, praying for your children? How much time this week did you pray, if your kids are single, that God would send them the right spouse? If they're a boy, that God would send them a godly girl. And if they're a girl, that God would send them a godly boy. Can I get a witness on all what I just said? How much time did you spend praying that God would keep the devil away from him, the demons of hell away from him? How much time did you spend this week praying for God to take your kid and use him? Hey, sir, can I ask you a question? How much time did you spend praying for your son this week that God would take his life and use his life, and that if it be God's will, maybe he would call him to preach and launch him out into the ministry? How much time did you spend praying for your daughter? Now hear me and hear me well. When she walks away from the things of God and turns her back on God, don't you point your finger in God's face and say it's his fault. It may be your fault because you didn't take serious and supplicate. Hey, Sunday school teacher, can I ask you a question this morning or this evening? How much time did you spend praying for God to help you in your class today? How much time did you spend praying that God would fill your class today? So, preacher, I don't know why nobody's going. Number one, are you taking it serious? Number two, are you praying? How much time did you spend? God, fill my Sunday school class up. God, help me when I go into my class. And I'm going to say this, faith without works is dead. You still got to knock on doors. You still got to try to win people. Somebody give me an amen right there. But I'm telling you, Brother Dakota, it all starts back right here with this right here. There is a place of supplication. When he got there, you know what he done? Boy, he cried out to God. Watch this. That widow lady didn't go to the doctor. Come here just a minute. Something happens, your kid during the night, call 911 before you call me. Okay? Let me just clarify that. But that, you got to understand manners and custom. She didn't run out the door and go try to find somebody else. Let me tell you the reason why. Here's the reason why. She knew somebody was in her house that could get a hold of God. I don't believe Elijah had went to her and said, hey, I'm a praying man. But let me tell you what had happened. There's not a doubt in my mind that she had heard Elijah up there, if you want to say it this way, in that loft where he slept at, and was praying, oh, God, whatever it is that you have in my life, God, would you use me? God, take my life. God, do something with me. She saw something in the man of God. And when something happened to her son, you know what she done? She ran to the man of God because she had faith in the man of God. How much faith does this world have in you and your prayers today? So, preacher, and I'm going to deal a lot with this in just a second. Preacher, I can't raise nobody from the dead. Let's make a spiritual application. The Bible said that we're dead in trespassings of sin. And even though I may not can quote unquote save somebody, you know what I can do? I can supplicate for them, and I can be serious about what God's called me to do, and I can get them to who can. It was a place of supplication tonight. Number four, there's a place of seriousness. There's a place of stillness. There's a place of supplication, but I give you this in closing. There, are we there yet? There's a place of supernatural occurrences. There. Where did God feed him at? There. Where did the ravens come? There. I don't know about you, but that's pretty supernatural to me. I've never had a crow show up at the house and say, hey, John, I got something for you to eat tonight. That's pretty supernatural. When you get over there to the widow lady's house, it's pretty supernatural that every day she walked out there and opened the top of the meal barrel, and guess what was in it? For probably at least 2 years, guess what was in it? Enough meal for the day, enough oil for the day. I don't know about you, but that's pretty supernatural. You say, oh, preacher, I tell you what was happening. Somebody down the road was coming by there and dumping a little bit out to be good to her. Won't you quit trying to figure everything out and just take the Bible for what it says? God done it. I don't know about you, it's pretty supernatural that that boy got raised from the dead. I don't know about you, but it's pretty supernatural that he gets over there on Mount Carmel and prays the fire of God down. There is a place where supernatural things happen. There. There. Would that boy have died and stayed dead if Elijah hadn't have been there? It's quite possible. Would the prophets of Baal still prevailed and the people not have known in 1 Kings 18 that he was really the true and living God if Elijah hadn't have been there? It's quite possible. Would Elijah have starved to death and died in the beginning of chapter 17 if he hadn't have been at the brook? It's quite possible. there's a place of supernatural experiences, supernatural occurrences. Let me tell you what happens. Will you come start playing real softly? Let me tell you what happens when somebody gets saved. It's life from death. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses. Quickens means made alive. It's a supernatural occurrence. In order to see that in people's life, guess what? You got to be there. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. I believe with all of my heart that God has let us come past the brook. And if I could relate our church to 1 Kings 17 and 18, I would say this: we're at the widow lady's house. You said, "Preacher, look what's happening." I believe we're at the widow lady's house. We got a decision that we've got to make. Are we going to Mount Carmel? I'm not satisfied. But preacher, we've had visitors. We've got visitors tonight, and you didn't even let the youth choir sing. And there's Dakota. You should have let him preach tonight. That's probably what all of you thinking. I'm not satisfied. Brother Josh is praying for 30, had 31 in youth church this morning. But Brother Josh, are you just going to say, I wish Brother Aaron was here so I could talk to him too, and Miss Bethany sitting there, and Brother Gavin and Miss Hannah back there? But are you just going to say, okay? Or now we're going to start praying for 40 in there? I remember going by Miss Regina, Miss Kayla's class numerous times, and there'd be nobody in it. And today they had 6 of their regulars out. And how many had 7 today, 11 today, and 6 regulars out? That's, we prayed for God to put people in the class, but now are we going to be satisfied with that? Here's where a lot of people's at. And I'm about done. Going to go home. You know what I'm going to do when I get home? I'm going to sit down this afternoon, Brother Dakota, and I'm going to relax the rest of the evening because I know I've obeyed God today. Let me tell you where a lot of people's at. A lot of Christians make it to the brook and they see God do a little something, and that's where they stop at. That's where they stop at. Let me tell you where a lot of preachers go. Let me tell you where a lot of youth leaders go. Brother Josh, Miss Bethany, Brother Gavin, they see God bring them to the brook. And they see God sustain them right there. And they're okay with that. I'm glad he done that. But what's next? Are we there yet? You know what happens, Brother Austin? A lot of young preachers, they get an opportunity to preach. They go out and preach. They get a little touch of God on them when they're preaching. They get to the brook. That's just as far as they go. You know what's going to happen up there on the mountain, Brother Dakota? God's going to let you get to the brook. Then you're going to get serious with them and go past that. I'm not satisfied with the brook. Let me tell you the reason why. There's some dead youngins out there. There's some dead adults out there. So, preacher, what are you talking about? If you've not got the picture yet, there's some people lost and on the road to hell out there. And you know what? If Elijah had never went past the brook, Oh, yeah, he saw a little bit of God right there. But he had to get to the place where he decided, man, I'm going to be submissive to God. And when God dries the brook up, I'm going to the next level. And when God does something there, I'm going to the next level. You say, preacher, when is enough enough? When Jesus comes back or I'm dead, that's when enough's enough. Are you going to be satisfied with just a little bit? God may be wanting to do so much more with your life. But it all goes back to number one. Will you be submissive? I said this last week, if God would let you, would you let God? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? This morning I said, Elijah enjoyed the blessings by himself at the brook. God used Elijah to bring a blessing to a widow lady and her son. Then God used Elijah to practically bring revival to the nation of Israel. But he had to be submissive. Preacher, it seems the brook's dried up. God might be getting you ready for Mount Carmel. Are we there? Are we willing? Will we say, Lord, here am I, send me. I want to do it, Lord. It's serious. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand as we're staying taught this morning before Him one day. Are we there yet? Are we there?